right now, the board of seven, we have combined nearly over two centuries, actually, of experience working on Southeast Alaska conservation issues.
Sitka fisherman and attorney Paul Olson is board president for the Greater Southeast Alaska Conservation Community, or GSAC. The board includes scientists, fishermen, and conservationists from Sitka, Juneau, and Petersburg, as well as a University of Montana biologist with extensive field experience in the Tongass. They had a meeting in Petersburg this month, and Olson's optimistic about building membership.
We've worked with a number of conservationists who will be interested in our group, so we feel that we can recruit a significant number of people who've been involved in conservation in Southeast Alaska immediately. And over time, we really want to cultivate people like fishermen and hunters, because that's really our emphasis, is on protecting habitat now rather than trying to restore it later after the damage has already occurred.
Olson says GSAC will work on a variety of issues, including alternative energy sources like heat pumps, which draw warmth from the air or the earth.
We feel like there are a lot of good alternative energy projects that can be done here in Southeast Alaska that have been overlooked by, for example, the Alaska Energy Authority, heat pump technologies, more what they call demand-side management, energy efficiency programs. So in the long term, we really want to put on programs in communities like Petersburg or Sitka, where we bring in speakers with expertise on issues. It's one of the best things we can do here, is really improve our use of alternative energy.
GSAC disagreed with a draft Alaska Energy Authority plan that recommended wood pellet stoves and boilers to heat homes and businesses. In a recent letter to the editor of the Petersburg Pilot, Olson raised concerns about the impact of wood biomass heat on climate change, asserting that it was neither clean nor carbon neutral. GSAC started speaking out on timber issues late last year. They raised several concerns about the Forest Service's proposed Tonka timber sale plan, a large project near Petersburg. The long-established Southeast Alaska Conservation Council also opposed the sale. Olson says several of his group's board members used to be with SEAC, but they differ on some issues, like SEAC's ongoing involvement with the privately funded Tongass Futures Roundtable. Olson says GSAC has been disappointed with the roundtable process.
Yeah, we feel it's in some sense bypassing the traditional public processes for forest management that have gone on through, you know, the laws signed by President Nixon 40 years ago,
the National Environmental Policy Act.
And we believe that's not a perfect process, but we believe it's the best process we have. It kind of ensures a fuller level of public participation. And over time, the roundtable, as you know, the timber interests have withdrawn. It's devolved into a smaller and smaller amount of groups. And we would like to see the issues that face the Tongass, whether it's alternative energy or old growth timber sales, be addressed with an improved public process and more transparency.
The roundtable originally included a mix of forest stakeholders who spent the past several years trying to find some common ground on often divisive forest issues. Mill owners, the state of Alaska, and several communities pulled out of the roundtable last year after expressing frustration it did nothing for the timber industry. Meanwhile, critics in the environmental community have been concerned about too much compromise from their side. Roundtable members don't see it that way. SEAC Executive Director Lindsay Ketchel describes the roundtable as a forum for hearing other people's perspectives.
My board, in particular at SEAC, really wants to create an environment where you're actively engaged with everyone who's in your community, and that whether you're an executive of a mining company or the president of Sea Alaska Corporation or, you know, a representative in the House here, that we're listening and we're engaging and we're trying to understand. That, to me, doesn't mean you're necessarily going to compromise and or do harm.
Ketchel points out that SEAC has a 41-year history in Southeast, and she says the organization and its membership remain strong. While SEAC and GSAC don't agree on every issue, Ketchel sees the new environmental group as a positive development.
This is not a weakening of our organization, and in fact, I just see this as strengthening our movement in general, that people are choosing to make an investment to build another organization that I think will be complementary and synergistic. And in the areas where that we may have some disagreement, that's okay. That's what life's all about, is different approaches, different styles. But in the end, I think it's just going to only help and improve and keep safe Southeast.
Despite some differences, SEAC's Ketchell and GSAC's Olson both expect their groups will be able to work together on common issues. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.